live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach says government will work to ensure the MICA redress scheme is operational as quickly and as effectively as possible. The Seanad has been told that giving people the right to ask if they can work from home is meaningless in many rural areas, including Donegal, where the rollout of broadband is still a long way off. A Donegal deputy has called for a comprehensive mental health strategy for young people. And the president of the IFA says Ireland needs to regulate the cost of produce sold in supermarkets. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin. First in news though, the Russian ambassador has given Irish fishermen an absolute guarantee that their industry will not be affected by the country's military drills. A buffer zone will be considered to protect Irish trawlers from the exercises, which will involve naval artillery and missiles. Talks between representatives from the Irish fishing industry and the Russian ambassador have been described as extremely positive. The two sides met this morning so that fishermen could raise their concerns over the impact Russian Navy drills may have on their sector when they get underway next week. CEO of the Irish Fish Processors and Exporters Association, former Donegal councillor Brendan Byrne, says progress was made.
It's easy to operate a buffer zone if there's an understanding between both parties. Again, there's a vast area earmarked for this naval exercise. There's a vast area where we'd be traditionally fishing in. And when we now have an agreement of understanding, of coexistence, the technical issues and the technicalities of this can be worked out in a one-to-one. And I'm confident that there's clear sight of that.
The Taoiseach says government will work to ensure the MICA redress scheme is operational as quickly and as effectively as possible. It emerged last week that affected homeowners won't be able to access the scheme for many months yet. Micheál Martin said the government wants to meet the families' needs as quickly as possible but stopped short of giving a date. He was responding to Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, who told the Dáil that the legislation needs to be brought before the House as a matter of urgency.
The families were crumbling homes living in Donegal, Mayo and the west of Ireland. And the difficulty right now is following a briefing from a senior Department of Housing official with members of Donegal County Council. It's now been suggested it could be as late as September before that scheme is operational. Now, this is serious urgency. These families have waited for so long. You've had 2 years of this discredited so-called 90% scheme. So we need urgently the legislation brought through this House and a scheme that's workable that can allow these families to rebuild their lives. So, Taoiseach, can you give that assurance today?
Taoiseach? Yes, I can say to you, Deputy, look, we want to pursue this as quickly as we can for the benefit of the families. The families have been under enormous strain as a result of the MICA scandal. And the Minister, Ryan, has brought forward, with the agreement of his government colleagues, a very comprehensive scheme. We want to do right by the residents and the homeowners, and we will do what we can to get this operational as quickly and as effectively as we can.
The National Broadband Plan remains behind target, with goals for 2022 still to be decided. The €3 billion plan to roll out fibre broadband was delayed over the last 2 years, with ministers citing COVID as a major reason. A number of TDs have complained that people in their constituencies will be waiting until 2025 or 2026 to get connected. People Before Profits' Breed Smith says it's being run very differently to rural electrification.
The very key difference is the one you just quoted. We did not rely on private, competitive, for-profit enterprise to electrify this company, to electrify this country. The state built a state-owned, state-run company called the ESB, built Ardna Crusha, built Table Mountain, and turned the lights on up and down this country. If we were waiting for this kind of model, we'd be all still sitting in the dark and this place would be lit up by candles.
The Seanad has been told that giving people the right to ask if they can work from home is meaningless in many rural areas where the rollout of broadband is still a long way off. Independent Senator Eileen Flynn said Donegal and other rural counties should be prioritised in the National Broadband Plan rollout, but instead the county is one where almost nothing has happened so far. Senator Flynn said a decade after then Minister Pat Robert described broadband as the rural electrification of the 21st century, most of rural Ireland has been left behind.
There are a lot of students who lost out on education due to the lack of adequate learning supports and access to online learning just because they live in rural Ireland. We cannot create further inequalities and division in this country. It has to end now. Minister, in the rollout, we also have to look at the costs, as many centres have said here today. I know in Ardragh County, Donegal, where I live, there's a little road by the name of Crumlin, and there's no internet at all in that area. You know, there's many people, many areas in this country that won't even see the rollout until at least the end of the year, and that's very disheartening for people nowadays. And Taoiseach yesterday announced that people have the rights to axe and require candy work from home. How can we expect people from Donegal, yet again the forgotten county of this country, being left behind? The people in it, it's not just the county, it's actually people's lives, people who live there, children, to have the equal opportunities to be successful, being able to work from home, and while many of them don't have that. So again, I would urge that we look at that. Thank you.
The HSE is planning a nationwide review of CAM services after serious failings in the South Kerry service. A report into child and adolescent mental health services in the area found dozens of children were significantly harmed after being prescribed inappropriate medication. HSE boss Paul Reid says there will now be a wider examination of the service to make sure this was an isolated incident.
In terms of assurance, we will be working on a national basis now to complete audits in terms of compliance with standard operation procedures set out for CAMS teams and how they would work through those processes. And equally, along with that, looking at prescription levels comparatively across the country to give assurance to us on a national basis.
Maurice O'Connell's son Jason was one of the children impacted by an overprescription of medication to treat ADHD, which saw him on three different drugs. Morris describes his son's reaction when they were informed by the whistleblower of what happened.
I just froze with shock. And while I was trying to gather my thoughts, Jason turned around and says, "Doctor, can I ask you a question?" And the doctor said, "Yeah, walk away." And he said, "Doctor, does that mean I'm going to die?" And they're the child's exact words to the doctor. And the doctor said, "No, you're not. You'll be okay."
Well, a Donegal deputy, meanwhile, has called for a comprehensive mental health strategy for young people. Speaking during statements in the Dáil on youth mental health, Deputy Pierce Doherty says the evidence is clear that much more needs to be done to support young people. He has warned that calls for additional help cannot continue to fall on deaf ears.
Indeed, things are very dark, very grey for many, many people. And unfortunately, when they put out that hand of help, looking for the state to reach out and grab them, that hand is nowhere to be found. So I would urge you today to actually look at bringing forward a real comprehensive strategy in terms of mental health. Myself and my colleague, Deputy Pádraig McLaughlin, and Mark Ward, who's been doing Trojan work in relation to this, had the opportunity to meet with many of the mental health advocacy groups, those within the health organisation, those that are state-funded, those that are charitable in Donegal, and they all had a very similar message to us, and that was that more, far more needed to be done. There had to be far more joined-upness, and there had to be far more supports at all level. I could talk to you about constituents of mine, and we see the spike in numbers in the last year and years, where one in five people, young people who are admitted to mental health institutions, are suffering from eating disorders. But the reality is the beds aren't there. When you look at the three public beds in the state, how many years, how many reports, how many times are we going to have headlines in papers? How many times are young people going to reach out asking us to do more, and yet only that to be fallen on deaf ears? So I welcome this opportunity, but what I would far more welcome is a real response to dealing with the most vulnerable people in our society, and particularly acknowledging the impact of the pandemic on them.
Student representatives say using school profiling as part of this year's Leaving Cert would disadvantage pupils from Jesh schools. A school's previous academic performance may be taken into account if the government chooses a hybrid model for the state exams. Stephen Murphy has more.
This year's Leaving Cert written exams will look a bit different, with more choice of questions and flexibility over practical work. But many students want the option not to sit an exam at all and get a calculated grade like last year. The system, though, caused huge grade inflation, and there's no Junior Cert data for many pupils due to its cancellation in 2020. Government officials believe a hybrid model may require school profiling, where the previous exam results of a school is taken into account. Eimear Neville is president of the Irish Second Level Students Union.
Our general consensus is, and we saw the same thing last year and in 2020, is that this would be unfair and would disadvantage students, particularly those in DESH schools.
Guidance Councillor Betty McLaughlin says there would be issues with using the hybrid model again.
I mean, I know of one school where 48% of their students got over 500 points of their Leaving Cert students, which would be completely out of kilter with previous years.
A decision on what form this year's Leaving Cert will take is expected in the next week.
The return of job seekers' payments to post offices has been described as a step in the right direction in ensuring the viability of rural facilities in Donegal. The changes will initially apply to all new job seeker applicants before being extended to other job seekers over the coming months. Fionnuala McBride, executive member of the Irish Postmasters Union for Donegal, says they had lost a lot of customers during the pandemic, but says this latest move will have far-reaching benefits for rural communities. However, she says the addition of further services would future-proof post offices.
So that means those people that have been on the PUP payment and moving over to job seekers in a few months' time will have to attend in person to the post office. So that's a great benefit for us, really, because it's going to increase the footfall in the post office. So we did lose a lot of customers, you know, during the COVID. And of course, there's been a reduction in our work. So this is welcome news. It's actually a step in the right direction for us. With us, if the post office closes, we know that businesses will be affected. That it also reduces fraud as well, the people coming into the post office. People are moving to rural Ireland, and they need to have a post office. They need to benefit from benefit from the services, because we actually do a lot more than what people think. We do all sorts of banking now. We are actually now have Bank of Ireland on board, AIB, Ulster Bank, and also our own and post current account. So people that are now moving out of the urban areas, they need to be able to access all these services, and the post office can provide it. We just now need to continue with the government and lobby them and say, please give us more offline services, because there's a lot of people don't have access to computers and stuff, and they still need that one-to-one communication with the postmaster. And, you know, it's very important that we keep open. And as I say, it helps other local businesses as well.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with boxing, and it's finally been confirmed that Katie Taylor will headline Madison Square Garden. The undisputed lightweight champion will face seven-weight world champion Amanda Serrano at the iconic New York venue on April the 30th. The pair were scheduled to meet in 2020, but those plans were scuppered by the pandemic. It'll be the first time that the two women have headlined the main arena at Madison Square Garden. In Gaelic Games, the Letterkenny Institute of Technology will play NUIG in the quarterfinals of the Sigerson Cup next week. Maxi Curran's side progressed to the last eight by beating UCD and Convoy, and will face the Students from the West next Tuesday in Dangan, Galway, with the throw-in time to be confirmed. Also on Tuesday, University Limerick will meet Queen's in Dublin, while on Wednesday, DCU play University Ulster, and MTU Kerry will be up against Maynooth. On the pitch tonight, the LYIT, they're in men's fresher Gaelic football championship action. They're up against Queen's University of Belfast. The start time tonight is at 8:30. That's also in the Donegal GA Centre in Convoy. Elsewhere, Jason Doherty is poised to make his first Mayo appearance in over 2 years on Sunday. Doherty has been named to start in their Allianz Football League opener against Donegal after recovering from a serious knee injury. There's no place for Killian O'Connor in the match day 26 as he continues his recovery from injury. Lee Keegan's named a cornerback, while Aidan O'Shea is listed among the substitutes. The game takes place at Sligo's Markovic Park, as McHale Park and Castlebar undergoes resurfacing work at Mayo against Donegal. It'll be live on Sunday Sport here on Highland Radio from the 1:45 throw-on time with Oisin Kelly and Martin McHugh on commentary. Moving on to soccer, and Croatian Filip Mihaljevic has become the 8th new signing at Van Harps ahead of the 2022 League of Ireland Premier Division campaign. The 29-year-old forward came through Dynamo Zagreb's academy and was capped at underage level for Croatia. He spent last season in Cambodia. He netted 13 times in 15 appearances. He's also played in his native Croatia, Bulgaria and Italy. Cross-channel news, Championship club Derby, they have been granted a one-month extension to provide proof of funding. The East Midlands side were placed into administration at the start of the season, receiving a 21-point deduction for with their future uncertain. They were told to show they had enough money to complete the campaign by the 1st of February, but they've been given an extra 4 weeks to find a buyer. In rugby, entertainment platform TikTok is to become the title partner of the Women's Six Nations Championship. It's the first time the tournament will have a title partner, with the deal set to run through until 2025. Ireland kick off their campaign against Wales in March. TikTok has also become an official partner of the Men's Six Nations Tournament, as well as the Autumn Nations Series. Elsewhere, Ulster, they have made 6 changes for tomorrow night's United Rugby Championship meeting with Scarlets. Rob Little, he'll make his 50th appearance for the province. In golf, Padraig Harrington's the best of the Irish on 2 under par following the opening day of the Dubai Desert Classic. The former European Ryder Cup captain shot a round of 70 today. Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy and Jonathan Caldwell, they all carried 1 under par rounds of 71. They're 6 shots off the lead, which is held by Denmark's Joachim B. Hansen. In the PGA Tour, Billy Horschel's the leader after the first round of the Farmers Insurance Open. He shot a 9 under par 63 last night in California. World number one John Rahm's 3 shots back on 6 under par alongside Francesco Molinari and Ricky Fowler. And Leona Maguire and Stephanie Meadow have started the new LPGA Tour season at the Gainsbridge LPGA Tournament in Florida. Maguire is 2 over par through 12 holes, with Meadow 3 over after 16. Danielle Kang leads the way on 5 under par after 14 holes. In tennis, Ash Barty is the first Australian woman since 1980 to reach the final of the Australian Open. This year's top seed defeated Madison Keys 6-1, 6-3. Barty will play another American in the final, Danielle Collins. The 28-year-old beat 7th seed Iga Swiatek, also in straight sets. And Daniel Medvedev, he'll take on Stefanos Tsitsipas for the second straight Australian Open semi-final. That one is on tomorrow. And in the first semi-final, 20-time Grand Slam champion Rafael Nadal, he'll face Wimbledon finalist Matteo Berrettini. And in Formula One news, Formula One's Singapore Grand Prix will be on the calendar for at least another 7 years. A new deal's been agreed to extend racing at the Marina Bay Street Circuit until 2028. It hosted the first night race in Formula One history when introduced to the schedule back in 2008. Finally, for this evening, on the score this evening, Oisin Kelly talks National League action in Gaelic games with Brendan Kilcoyne, Ciarán O'Kane and Declan Bonner. Plus, we'll hear from Donegal MMA fighter Dara Kelly, who'll make his long-awaited pro debut next month on the Bellator bill at Dublin's 3 Arena. That's the score after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, 9,938 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed this evening. The HSE has been notified of 5,265 PCR confirmed cases, while 4,673 people registered a positive antigen test through the HSE portal. 708 COVID-19 patients are in hospital, down 31 from 739 yesterday. 71 people, meanwhile, are in ICU, a decrease of 3. A Bunkrana community worker says the country needs to listen to the voices of ethnic minorities. A recent survey carried out on over 100 people from different ethnic backgrounds who moved to Bunkrana within the past 10 years shows the need for more communication and understanding of ethnic minorities. Some respondents reported instances of discrimination and abuse, the vast majority of it verbal in nature, with a relatively small amount of physical abuse recorded. Ruth Garvey-Williams told Grey Hughes on the 9 till noon show today that those from ethnic minority communities contribute greatly to society.
One of the wonderful things is that ethnic minorities and the locals, of course, describe Buncraner is friendly, welcoming and safe. And I think that's fantastic news. I mean, it's good news. It's not all negative. A lot of ethnic minorities are feeling so grateful to have found a home in our beautiful town. And the darker side is that people, especially from Black, Asian or traveller backgrounds, have experienced racial abuse and have experienced discrimination or exclusion in some way, shape or form. And that is something that we're really concerned about. The really negative stuff is a very small minority. So those of us who do not want to see that sort of behaviour in our town, in our communities, we need to be vocal. And also we need to listen to the voices of our minority communities who have so much to contribute, and they're really excited to contribute. I've noticed as a volunteer in a community centre that if you look proportionately, the number of volunteers who are not, you know, originally locals, it's a much higher number. They are giving back, they are contributing to our community at a much higher proportion than locals.
The president of the Irish Farmers Association says Ireland needs to regulate the cost of produce sold in supermarkets. It's after Lidl reduced the price of chicken in a promotion, triggering overnight protest in Cavan and Monaghan. Lidl is due to meet the IFA this week. Speaking at the IFA's AGM, President Tim Cullen-Ann says laws should be brought in to prevent retailers drastically discounting the price of food.
There is now a law banning the low-cost selling of alcohol. We need the same for food. This needs to be part of the food regulator legislation. We expect clear timelines and a commitment that the regulator will have teeth and will be able to stand up to retailers and processors.
Weather now. Tonight will be cold and dry, frost developing in places along with some mist or fog patches, with lowest temperatures of 0 to 3 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening: the Russian ambassador has given Irish fishermen an absolute guarantee that their industry will not be affected by the country's military drills. The two sides met this morning with the CEO of the Irish Fish Processors and Exporters Association, former Donegal councillor Brendan Byrne, saying progress was made. The Taoiseach says government will work to ensure the MICA redress scheme is operational as quickly and as effectively as possible. It emerged last week that affected homeowners won't be able to access the scheme for many months yet. The Seanad has been told that giving people the right to ask if they can work from home is meaningless in many rural areas, including in Donegal, where the rollout of broadband is still a long way off. Senator Eileen Flynn said the county and other rural parts of the country should be prioritised in the National Broadband Plan rollout, but instead the county is one where almost nothing has happened so far. And the return of job seekers' payments to post offices has been described as a step in the right direction in ensuring the viability of rural facilities in Donegal. The changes will initially apply to all new job seeker applicants before being extended to other job seekers over the coming months. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. It's time now for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about a group that was formed to ensure that there are supports in the next Common Agricultural Policy for women in farming. But first, the IFA has been holding its AGM in Dublin today. One of the main points to emerge was a call from IFA President Tim Cullen-Ann for a ban on below-cost selling and the appointment of a food regulator. Also today, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Ogue has reminded dog owners of their responsibilities and the vulnerability of sheep to dog attacks as the lambing season approaches. Some 2.5 million lambs will be born on farms all over Ireland this springtime, and sheep flocks are very vulnerable to dog attacks at this critical time, and especially during the night. Well, elsewhere, the application process for the 2020 Glas Traditional Farm Buildings Grant Scheme has begun. The grants available range from between €4,000 to €25,000, with up to 75% of the cost of the project eligible for funding. Well, many of our listeners, no doubt, will have heard of Hannah Quinn Mulligan and her journalistic exploits with the Irish Farmers Journal. She's also the chair of the Women in Agriculture Stakeholders Group. And Hannah, delighted to say that this group has certainly made considerable strides in a relatively short period of time. So maybe just give us a little bit of background as to why the group was formed.
Thanks very much, Chris. It's basically been formed to ensure that there are supports there for female farmers in the next common agricultural policy, because currently, officially in Ireland, just 17,000 women are farming. So that's just about 13% of all the farmers in Ireland. And that isn't actually representative of the number of women farming in Ireland at all. Because when you look at the Central Statistics Office, there are 70,000 women working on farms every single day, and 40,000 of those are wives of farmers. So it's to actually get people to stop thinking of women just as the wives of farmers, because women are actively farming. So start thinking of women as farmers. And I'm delighted that we have a representative from all the leading farm organisations, from the ISA to the INHFA, on board. And that's the reason why we've managed to get this. So a lot of women have come together to push this through, and all the farm orgs are behind us as well. And that's just fantastic to see. But we're going to keep driving on now, because the next cap is 2023 to 2027, and we have big plans.
And fair to say, in an age of gender equality, things are not, it's not a level playing field.
That's it, exactly. And it's really unfortunate. And even when you drill down to the statistics that we got back, if you look at the scheme that's there for sheds and machinery, TAMS, less than 4% of all of the money, so it's a €350 million scheme, and roughly only 4% of it went to women. And when you drill down again, less than 100 women under 35 received that money. So that's a really poor indication of the chances that young women are getting in terms of agriculture as well. So that needs to change. So a big thing that we've got on the table, and it's the first time ever that women have got supports in the Common Agricultural Policy in Ireland, and we've helped to ensure that they'll get a 60% sheds and machinery grant, the TAMS grant, in the next Common Agricultural Policy. And also there'll be an option there for female-only discussion groups, because we see the county statistics, and even Donegal itself has a very low figure in terms of the number of women participating in farm discussion groups. And we want to see that increased, because no matter what sector you're in, education is key.
And I noticed that there has been a SWOT analysis, that's the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats, carried out by the department, I think it was, wasn't it, in relation to just female participation in agriculture at various levels. So what were the main findings there?
So I guess overall the department will do a SWOT analysis on various strengths and weaknesses. I think no matter the SWOT analysis outcomes, it's important to remember that a tractor doesn't know the difference between a man or a woman turning the key in the ignition. And fundamentally, although it was found that women don't get a fair crack at the whip, essentially, when it comes to farming, usually when it comes to succession, it's always assumed that a son will take over. And what this can actually create is a bit of a brain drain, because if you have young women there who want to farm, and you tell them essentially, or they're raised to believe that they'll never get the farm, or that they can never really be involved in farming, is that maybe the best person for the farm, or maybe the best person to be involved in the farm, doesn't actually take over. And that isn't great when you consider all the challenges that face rural Ireland and agriculture at the minute. And you need the best person to be running farms, whether they're male or female. So succession is a huge issue that's been identified by the Department of Agriculture. And for us, what we want to showcase is that just women can do it. They're already doing it. They can do it. And we want to put them front and centre in farm life, which is where they should have always been, rather than in the shadows, which is where a lot of them currently are.
Now, in recent years, there's been a lot of success in relation to what are termed knowledge transfer schemes. Again, though, we're not seeing a very big participation from women. So maybe you can explain a little bit about the whole concept and where it can go in the future.
The knowledge transfer schemes are basically similar, basically kind of a farm discussion group. And the take-up amongst women has been very poor, which is why we're delighted there'll be an option there of female-only groups, because sometimes I know from my own experience when I'm in farm groups, and usually they're all men, I don't like putting my hand up. I would consider myself quite a confident woman, but it can be awkward sometimes to ask a question because you can be made to feel maybe a bit stupid about it. So there'll be an option there for female-only groups. But also what we've stressed to the Department of Agriculture in all our meetings with them is that they need to start thinking outside the box in when these groups will actually take place. You know, we know a lot of work can be done now on Zoom. I know a lot of people are Zoomed out. But say in the months around calving time or the months around winter time when things are slower on farms, why not have some of those discussion groups online so that women can actually participate in them and juggle usually the workload that women are juggling, which involves work and involves children as well. And then in the summertime, then you can have practical discussion groups on farms.
And if I can touch on a couple of other areas that you've been directly involved in, tell us a little bit more maybe about taxation and capital gains tax and retirement relief and areas like that.
I don't know if I want to talk about tax. I want people to keep listening. And usually people don't keep listening when you talk about tax. But it is really important. And all the farmers out there will know that they have to submit their tax returns once a year. So tax is a really important area, and what we want to see, and we've been talking to Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConnellogue, we have been talking to his department obviously about this, is that we want to see more tax incentives for women. So we want to see things like if you bring a woman onto a farm partnership, that there'll be tax relief associated with that. So we want to sort of incentivize and add a sweetener to officially bringing a woman onto a farm.
And finally, for the coming year, what are the priorities for the Women in Agriculture Stakeholders Group?
One of the big priorities will be ensuring that the National Women in Agriculture Dialogue happens, and we have been petitioning the Minister to ensure that that happens and to put some funding behind it. So it's great to talk about all these initiatives for women, but they aren't going to happen unless they get some money to float them. I've also got some good news as well in terms of women will be granted priority access to a farm scheme that's going to be announced shortly. So we're pleased about that, but we need to see a lot more at the same time. Ideally, we need to see more tax reliefs, and we need to see more work in terms of incentivising women, young women and older women, to be part of farms. So we're going to make sure that that stays on the agenda.
And that was Hannah Quinn Mulligan, who's the chair of the Women in Agriculture Stakeholders Group. And finally, with the slurry spreading season due to commence here in Donegal from February the 1st, Gardaí have issued an alert to the general public to be aware of an increase in the volume of agricultural vehicles on the road, and farmers are also being asked to play their part in adhering to safety measures. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 27th of January. The death has occurred of William McLaughlin, Davy, Quill, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 20 past 10, going to St Patrick's Church, Ahaclay Mallon, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family, friends and neighbours welcome. The death has taken place of Miriam McCloskey, Naoimh Malloy, Ard Kirthan, Kiltoy, Letterkenny, and formerly of Derry Beg, Gwydor. Mary's remains are reposing at her home. House private, please. Funeral from there on tomorrow, Friday morning at 11:30 to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, which can be viewed live on the parish Facebook page. Interment afterwards in St. Columba's Church Cemetery, Dromahol. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Joe Gallen, 9 Garvaghlane Road, Castlederg. Joe's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Ahiarn, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Mass can be viewed live via the Ahiarn Parish webcam. And the death has taken place of John Mandy Gallagher, Creasla. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow morning at 11, followed by burial in Doe Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or James Harkin, Funeral Director. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.